Hey there, ever thought about what makes your heart beat a little faster?
Oh, you mean like when you discover a new track that just speaks to you?
Yeah, or finding a movie that you can't stop thinking about?
Well, get ready to feel that excitement all over again because Amazon Prime is here to take your entertainment and shopping experience to the next level.
Absolutely. Prime isn't just about getting your packages quicker. It's about diving into a world of endless possibilities. From the latest releases to exclusive content you won't find anywhere else.
And don't even get me started on the music. Prime offers concert specials that will transport you right to the front room. It's like being at the hottest gigs without leaving your living room.
I use Prime to tap in with some of my favorite artists' live shows from any and every genre of music.
Trust me, Prime is a game changer. It's like having a personalized superstore and entertainment hub right at your fingertips.
So why wait? Head over to Amazon.com/Prime and start experiencing entertainment like never before.
When you were coming to look at this real estate, you had the vision to say like, all right, that's going to bring business to this area.
I come to a trap and I can turn a trap up. You know what I'm saying? I can walk into a room and I can change the climate. So it was nothing different with real estate. You know what I'm saying? I felt like even if we were somewhere on the block, I could get the traffic down here because I'm him. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to have whatever part that side in the front will really be in here. This is definitely not your first time here.
No, you know what I'm saying?
You know, we got the good food, we got the good drinks. You care for a drink?
Sure. Absolutely, sure. Man. What you recommend?
Let's get three true stories. Ooh. Make mine with DeLeon. Huh.
Yeah. Great choice.
Make mine with DeLeon and three waters, please. All right, thanks. Yeah, man, come have a seat.
If anybody doesn't know, we in Escobar. This is downtown Escobar, right?
Yeah, this is the downtown Escobar. It's off Peter Street, Atlanta, Georgia. This will be our seventh year with this business being open in, you know, prime real estate. You got a State Farm Arena half a mile down. You have the Mercedes-Benz Stadium where the Falcons and our soccer team play. So it's a great location. It's a great atmosphere. You know, it's a blessing, I must say.
Mm. So I want to talk about the restaurant and just the real estate play as well, because I know you got the whole entire block. But what made you want to pick this location and get into the restaurant business?
Well, shout out to my partner, Snoop.
Shout out to Snoop.
She co-owns this brand Escobar with me. And what happened was I've been into real estate. You know, my mom was a loan officer when I was young, and I didn't even know what that meant. I just knew she worked at a place called, I want to say maybe Sunshine Mortgage. I remember seeing a sun on a little car, you know, business card, and it was a real estate place, and she did loan officer or something like that. And so early on, when I was hustling, I tried to do a couple of little things to flip my money, as far as buying little apartment buildings and maybe, you know, Section 8 homes and stuff like that. And then I ventured out and I started buying commercial stuff. You know what I'm saying? Something that I could, you know, maybe turn into a business. So on this street right here, I have three buildings. This one being Escobar, the nail shop next door. And then I have the museum across that I open up and I rent to people. But I had this place here I probably had this dirt for maybe 2 or 3 years before I met Snoop. Mm. And so I got a phone call from my real estate agent that said someone wanted to meet with me about possibly renting my space. You know what I'm saying? And I was kind of cool with that. You know what I'm saying? And so when I met with Snoop, she was so business savvy. And, you know, when I was looking, when she showed me her P&Ls and different things like that with the current location that she was at, it was very small compared to where we are now. It was almost like, you know, a quarter of the space, you know? And I was saying, you make this.
That's the profit statement.
You make this out of this? She was like, I'll put people on the street. I'll put tables out here. And then she had these little concepts for drinks where she was maybe serving them in maybe jars or something different like that. And when we spoke about concepts, it started ringing to me because I'm an artist. I deal with concepts. I name my album this. I do this. If I do a pink album cover, I got a pink trap house. I'm just, everything is concept driven with me anyway. And so before the meeting was over, I shook her hand and said, you know, I called a partner. You know what I'm saying? I know she was looking like, what you mean? You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, and I'm someone that is, I got this like voice in my head, you know what I'm saying? Which I think a lot of us do. And, you know, my spirit just told me that like, she was like someone that was passionate about what she was doing. And that's how I kind of pick a lot of talent that's around me. You know what I'm saying? Like my engineer, he only wants to, at this point, be an engineer. When he wants to do something else, I get another. My photographer, that's what he loves to do, take pictures. You know what I'm saying? My management, they love to manage situations. So I like to be with people who are passionate about whatever it is I need them for. You know what I'm saying? And so in the hospitality space, I felt like she was very passionate about it. I had an empty shell. And so we worked it out. And that was maybe 8. Since we about to be open for 7, it took us maybe a year to open due to all, you know, building the space out and getting our license and all of that, permits. But yeah, we've been friends for maybe, you know, maybe 8 or 9 years for real.
Yeah, shout out to Snoop, man, and talk about being in business for 7 years. That's not something that's really easy to do, especially in the hospitality space. So what have been some of the biggest lessons that you've learned? Obviously, you come from the world of entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
This is a different venture, right? We've seen a lot of Atlanta hospitality explode over the past 7 years. I feel like you might have set a trend in that. So talk about some of the biggest things you learned over those 7 years.
Ooh, it's a lot to learn in this business. I still learn. I'm on the group me with everything. I'm still learning. There's a lot that goes into this stuff, and that's why I think it's a blessing that we've been fortunate enough to stay open for 7 years, because you got to think, we own the place, and then you got other people that kind of come and go like a revolving door. You got, you know, people like the young lady that just came, Gigi, she's been here a while, you know what I'm saying? But then we have new young ladies that come in, and you'll start seeing everything when you work in this space. You'll see, you know, liars, cheats, thieves. You'll see all of that, you know what I'm saying? You'll see the good times and the bad times. I've experienced both in this space, you know what I'm saying? And so it's a constant roller coaster, and I think it's a week by week, you know, basis, or maybe let's say day by day, because we had some unexpected things that happened here, you know, in the last 24 hours, you know what I'm saying? So this is a day by day business when you deal with ordering food, liquor vendors, different promoters, you know, neighbors, anything. It's just a lot of factors that go into, you know, running a successful business like this for the amount of time that we have.
You know, everybody always say restaurants is the hardest business to be successful in.
It is.
And restaurants is the first business that entertainers and athletes always want to start. It's like just a fly, you know, go to your restaurant. So how have you been able to be successful and beat the odds?
So for me, that was never a passion of mine, because I thought it was kind of cliche at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people that do that, they have like a famous recipe, or they got an aunt that can cook or something like I base this business off having a partner that was very passionate in this space. Mm-hmm. So it had nothing to do with who got the best, you know, egg rolls or collard greens or chicken or nothing like that, you know. That's what happens in our community. Like, you know, my dad, chef, or, you know what I'm saying? Or, you know, I know how to barbecue. I'm going to open up, you know, because you know how to grill. Or you got a special sauce you done made in the kitchen with everybody else's sauces. You know what I'm saying? So that's not what this is. This is a business that I do come to. I frequent at, you know, 2 or 3 times a week. I eat here. I watch the games here. I have many friends in my field that come here and that's came here to support it. So, Like I say, man, I can't deny what a blessing this place is and has been to me and my family.
I want to talk about the vision you had, right? Because you spoke about Mercedes-Benz Stadium, right? And you talked about State Farm being 1/2 mile down the road. When you were coming to look at this real estate, you had the vision to say, like, all right, that's going to bring business to this area. Mm-hmm. Appreciation is going to happen because of it. Like, what was that process like at the beginning for you?
Well, when I came into this area originally, this part of Peter Street was dry as hell. It was nothing here. It was ashy. Up on the other end, they had three or four places that was just popping. They had a pizza place. They had, you know, valet. They had, and it was just really crazy. And unfortunately, it something happened where a fire, you know, I had nothing to, it sounded like I had something to, unfortunately, it burned down. I had, you know, I was know like, that but unfortunately, I was like, damn, that sounds crazy. It had a fire. And but we were still popping anyway. You know what I'm saying? I can I come to a trap and I can turn a trap up. You know what I'm saying? I can walk into a room and I can change the climate. So it was nothing different with real estate. You know what I'm saying? I felt like even if we were somewhere on the block, I could get the traffic down here because I'm him. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to have whatever part that side in the front. I'm going to really be in here. I'm going to really be enjoying myself. My wife, my family, we're going to come in here and we're going to, you know what I'm saying, entertain. I'm going to take pictures or do whatever I have to do with people. I'm going to suggest what I think you ought to get off the menu or what we need to drink. So, you know, that's what I think I add. And that was my vision for just having a spot here, knowing that I could take from someone else's fan base, I guess it would be a good analogy, or clientele, and have and apply it to mine.
Hey there, ever thought about what makes your heart beat a little faster?
Oh, you mean like when you discover a new track that just speaks to you?
Yeah, or finding a movie that you can't stop thinking about?
Well, get ready to feel that excitement all over again because Amazon Prime is here to take your entertainment and shopping experience to the next level.
Absolutely. Prime isn't just about getting your packages quicker. It's about diving into a world of endless possibilities, from the latest releases to exclusive content you won't find anywhere else.
And don't even get me started on the music. Prime offers concert specials that will transport you right to the front room. It's like being at the hottest gigs without leaving your living room.
I use Prime to tap in with some of my favorite artists' live shows from any and every genre of music.
Trust me, Prime is a game changer. It's like having a personalized superstore and entertainment hub right at your fingertips.
So why wait? Head over to Amazon.com/Prime and start experiencing entertainment like never before.
So real estate is real, you know, popular now, but it's interesting. T.I., that's our guy. We recently met Jeezy. All of you guys that were really successful back then, brought real estate back then, it seems like was that something that was just a coincidence or y'all was in communication with each other? Like,
man, I just think that's definitely shout out to Jeezy and Tip. They definitely own a lot of, they have more real estate than I do. They really do. Jeezy has had super prime location. I've been to a couple of his spots. And I think it's just, once you know, it's an addiction. And then with me, I used to tell people, you know, because I was getting these, you know, I was, this stuff was coming across my desk and I was trying to share it with a couple of my partners who would be trying to contemplate on if they bought certain land or certain, and I'm like, bro, we taking these prices for granted. In a minute, Atlanta gonna catch up to everything. Because I'm traveling, I'm seeing how much it costs to stay in LA, Miami, New York. I'm seeing what the cost is and I'm looking at what it is here. When I bought this dirt here, I probably paid $500,000 for it, which I know I done double, yeah, triple that. You know what I'm saying? I know I have. You know what I'm saying? And so at that time, it was like $500,000. But I was like, what I'm going to do? Buy another car, another, you know what I'm saying? Whatever, you know what I mean? So that's what I started to do. And then I was trying to kind of corner the market when stuff started popping up over here. I was on my monopoly, just like, let me get this, and I'll figure out what to do with it later.
So on the other side of the street, your son, it's like a mural of your son on the building. Talk about the content creation, you and your son. We were talking off camera.
Yeah.
But you guys got a podcast and he's turning into a star on his own.
Yeah.
So talk about that.
Yeah, shout out to Halo. That's my only son. He's 7 years old. The mural, so the city of Atlanta was doing they were doing some kind of artwork to commemorate Black something in the city. They were doing 10 different pieces around Atlanta. And so they wanted to do my building and they had another kid making like a muscle. It was still a Black kid. Mm-hmm. We're doing this muscle sign or whatever. I was like, oh, that's dope. I'm like, that's dope. Y'all want to use my building? Hey, can my son, let that be my son. You know what I mean? It was like, cool. So we did a photo shoot and he was only 3 years old. And, you know, he's been a legend, you know what I'm saying? Put that up. And then we started a podcast exactly a year ago. And we're on our 11th episode. We've had Trey Young and Issa Rae as our guests. But the episode is not even based off guests. It's based off father-son relationship in the Black community and confidence in the young black male, intelligence in the young black male, you know what I'm saying, being unapologetic about having charisma, swag, you know what I'm saying? You know, so, you know, a lot of stuff I installed in him, I was seeing it at home, and you know how people brag on their kids and stuff like that, it can kind of be like lame sometimes, you know what I'm saying? Like, okay, you know, okay. So I'm one of those people, I'm like a proud father, like my kids do, like all of them, heaven, harmony, they just do stuff that like, I want to post it sometimes, I want to tell people sometimes, and so with him being so young, we started a podcast. I was like, no one got a father-son podcast. People won't believe that we have these conversations. You know what I'm saying? A man done had a girlfriend for 2-3 years already. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, this is not normal, I don't think.
He's seven. So
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like as soon as he got touched down at school, he's like,
kindergarten.
Back when they was wearing masks.
Yeah.
He was like,
the eyes.
Wait till we get these masks off.
I can't wait to get to kindergarten.
Yeah. And so we have the podcast, and we talk about a lot of issues. He actually teaches me things. He told me it took 3 days to get to the moon or some shit. Some crazy that I just didn't know. So he's in the space. He's into like a lot of things. And the school that he goes to is a very, it's a great private school. So, you know, I'm getting my money's worth.
Man, that's incredible. Because when you look at a lot of times, especially as fathers, you want them to follow the footsteps that you kind of have laid, right? Whether in entertainment or sometimes it's in sports, but you've allowed him to actually create his own lane. And so what's your advice to parents in that sense, right? Because, I mean, we're all learning this job at the same time, but you've actually found a way to nurture a talent that you've seen in your son.
Yeah, well, first of all, I want, you know how rappers is. I don't want my son a rapper, a hooper, you know, whatever. But for me, I am a hooper, or was a hooper. So I do encourage him to play ball. You know, he loves to play ball. He says he's going to go to the league. I'm backing him up. Manifestation, let's do it. But everything else he wants to do, as far as if he wants to try, like, you know, tennis, football, which he is trying, or whatever else he wants to do, I encourage it, right? I'm not a big skateboarder, but my daughter goes to the top of this hill and scares the life out of me coming down this hill and turning and doing all this stuff. And what happens is I learned early on that we put our fear in the kids. Kids don't have no fear. We all grow into fear because somebody telling us, watch out for this dog or watch out for whatever it is, and it's putting fear. But I don't do that. You know what I'm saying? I don't do that. Now, my wife is super good at just letting them go. You know what I'm saying? But it took me a minute just to like to look the other way. Like my hope, this boy was, what I'm trying to tell you, been swimming since he was like four. I came out one day, he was in the deep end, and my wife Keisha was damn near sleeping afloat. And I came out, they're like, what you doing in the diving board? You know what I'm saying? He hit it and swam to the side. So it was like, you know what I'm saying? I got these kids, they teaching each other how to swim, they doing all, and all that. And I just think you got to let them. You got to just let them, man. You got to let them, you know what I'm saying, all that. Don't mess up my rug with that paint. You know what I'm saying? Just going to have to get another rug. Like, you know what I'm saying? My daughter done messed up her room, but it's like she's expressing herself. And I think that's what, you know, all parents should do. You know, we got those limitations, but I think giving them freedom is a way to kind of keep them close, if that makes sense. When you kind of try to hold them tight, they tend to go farther out, in my opinion.
So you started it, you know, I'm sure just to, you know, get him active, and he wanted to do it, but it's a business as well. And we posted the kid Ryan, one of the top YouTubers. He made like $60 million a couple years ago, and he just does toy reviews. So talk about that as far as seeing the space and seeing that there's an opportunity for a young black kid to actually become, you know, a YouTuber and, you know, get brand deals and different things of that nature.
Right. So that was another thing that encouraged the podcast. My kids would be on the sofa so quiet looking at Ryan or looking at, you know, some white family doing like skits and stuff like this. And they were very intrigued about it. And I'm someone that's trying to see what it is. And not to say they wanted to be somebody else or another family, but they would have these little things where it'd be families like they acting, and they had these little cartoon noise, ding, ding. And I'm just trying to like figure out why these kids, and then I start saying, you know, ain't no black families doing that? And then they'll find one or two, you know what I'm saying? And then I start saying, well, maybe we can be the family that they look at on YouTube. You know what I'm saying? I got, you know what I'm saying? I got the lick right here. You know what I'm saying? Maybe this intelligent young man, he can be someone that gets as many, you know, from not toy review, whatever it is, gets as many views and whatever he needs and you know, in that space. And so it's something that, like I said, came to fruition about a year ago, and we've been going strong ever since.
Yeah, I could imagine that the brands are now looking at you as the dad, but the star really is your son.
Yeah.
So it made me think of the line when you was like, they asked me what I do and who I do it for.
Yeah.
I'm like, this makes perfect sense. So when I looked at the mural and then I heard that you own the nail salon and the tattoo parlor, I'm thinking to myself, this guy's playing Monopoly down here.
Yeah, now the tattoo parlor is not mine. I could have let that ride.
Yeah.
But that's my main man next door.
Right.
They moved a little. Boys, he moving. Yeah. We be over here. Atlanta ain't playing.
Yeah.
Y'all, wherever y'all at, whatever y'all doing as far as playing, we not doing it. A piece of property come up, I'm talking about, it's like a bat signal. You know what I'm saying? And you'll hear the person, you hear him say, now, I can't tell you who, but somebody else looking at this property too. So you need to figure out. So that's what's going on around here. You know what I'm saying? As soon as a property come up that's in a good space, somebody going to put out on them.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So is there room for expansion, right? Because I could see it. And when we talked to Soup, it was kind of one of those things. We were like, oh, that's brilliant. Hair salon, nail salon, eyebrow technician, all in the same spot. Is that sort of the play that you're envisioning for down here, where it's like you could come on this one street and have all of those things? You don't even have to go anywhere else.
Yeah, they're actually building some apartments across the street. And I have a building over here that I'm about to convert it into store-like space, smoke shop kind of like space, but store space. But I want, obviously, exclusive goods in there just because of who I am. So, you know, like, I know Snoop got a cereal, Master P got rice and stuff like that. Those are some ideas to have in the store and still be in the space right here. So, yeah, I guess having a little small neighborhood / Black Wall Street where people can come out and get the things they need, maybe tissue and stuff like that, and food and stuff like that, all in this little radius, couple of block radius.
So Escobar, you got two Escobars in Atlanta, right?
Two Escobars in Atlanta, and then, you know, we start franchising.
So yeah, I'm gonna ask you about that. So talk about that. You got the franchise in Columbus, Ohio?
Yeah, shout out to the Columbus, Ohio Esco, man. Y'all doing an excellent job. I visited, I dropped by, maybe 3 months ago, 2-3 months ago. Had a good time. I brought Lil Duval, them had like a comedy show or something up there. I brought him through, and we kicked it, and they're doing excellent, man. And it's just what it is it's like-minded people who see the vision, who don't mind being, like, coaching to the direction on getting the bag. Because once you get what we have set up is, I think, to a point, I think Snoop has fine-tuned it to where it's easy for someone to follow and understand. Because it's kind of like the McDonald's concept. We, you know, same recipes, the same, you know what I mean? So you can swap different things out until it fits. And then with this space, you start making money as soon as you open with your liquor license and everything like that, because it's a vibe.
Mm-hmm.
And vibes, people stick around a little longer than it would be a restaurant, you know what I'm saying? And that's why I like to call this more of a, like a vibe or more of a lounge, because although we have great food, we have other things that stimulate you as far as the music, the TVs, and great drinks.
So is that a model you want to have in other cities?
Yes, we opening up. Shout out to Esco Memphis, that's about to open there. They opening up actually right outside the arena.
Okay.
Where the Grizzlies play.
Yeah,
so that's a super blessing. They're opening there. We're opening up another space here in Marietta, up North Atlanta. They're about to open anytime, and then I think we have a Dallas, Texas one that's about to open. So shout out to all the franchisees that's, you know, repping the brand, that's holding us down. You know, as soon as the doors open and y'all got my section ready, I will be in there. I'm in there. Because I'm in there. I'm crazy. You know, I'm trying to order the food, see if they lobster bites taste like ours. I'm in there like that. So
the Pretty Tony section.
Yeah, I'm in there just like trying to see, you know, if the drinks like ours. Just trying to do that. You know what I'm saying? You know, you go to anywhere you go, the McDonald's fries, they damn near be the same unless you're overseas. So we're just trying to kind of mimic that play, but in our community, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So even, I mean, bringing up McDonald's, when you do the franchises, are you looking at the real estate aspect of it too? So I'm trying to find the ground like you did here and then building on it and creating the franchise?
That's a great question. I think that's what we missing because they're in other cities. And, you know, by us not being there, these people are able to get it. So right now, early on, we don't have any connection to the dirt, right? But you know, we do know that that was the play with McDonald's, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So that is something that I am looking into outside of Georgia, period. You know what I'm saying? Like acquiring spots that are close proximity and, you know, doing the data on, like, would this be a place to put this on? I'm there now. I wasn't there then. Mm.
Whose idea was the franchise? You or Snoop?
Snoop's. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm the brand ambassador. I'm the brand and marketing guy. But you know, she can see like, man, these folks eating this stuff up. You know what I'm saying? They eating it up. Why not? Like, you 2 Chainz, I do this. Why not? You know what I'm saying? And once you come into an agreement where it's really no egos, you know what I'm saying? You know, we have a lot of respect for each other. So I think that's what makes this thing kind of flow a little bit smoother in this space right here.
That's a good idea because it's like, I don't think anybody else has really done that. Like, no. You know, people might try to open up another restaurant and them be the owner, but that's difficult to try to be the owner.
That's the thing.
10 different places.
That what happens when you franchise, it takes the responsibility off us as owners, even though it's still our brand. So if something happens, God forbid, not just crime, but anything, slip and fall, anything like that, it's not like hit 2 Chainz and all of that stuff. And then it's still, you know, a kickback. You know, we still, everybody's able to eat off the situation.
You get the royalty. Mm-hmm. And you got the manual that they got to follow?
Yes.
And the transcript.
Yeah, man.
You know, you know what's unique about it, too, is that it's a restaurant, but it's a lounge, too. And so, I mean, talk about that side of the business, because being a traditional restaurant, I'm sure there's a certain amount of hours that you can be open to. But the fact that you have the lounge, the liquor license, you kind of are open all night, right? Which means more capital.
Yeah, this is the space that I wanted to fill. I think that this has a strong correlation with who I am as an artist, right? I could have bought a franchise and whatever, you know, I'm still can and may, but for this right here, trying to put all that in a melting pot in one thing, you know, the lounge, the tapas, the good drinks, the music, the you know, the pretty souls and everything like that.
Pretty soul, I like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, pretty soul.
Well put, well put, like
yeah.
Well put.
Yeah.
Like you. Sounds like a married man.
Yeah. I see you over there. Keisha know I love her. We ain't got to do that. But with the, you know, people are repeat offenders or repeat customers. Because I, you know, they come in here, and then what happens is another thing. A lot of times when people are from out of town, they come here because I'm posting this a lot of times, and you may see me here, or maybe they just want to try the food because they've heard about it. So this is a place, like I say, that I think offers a good experience, and that's different from just a regular restaurant. It's kind of like an experience when you go there.
So just
a quick follow up. When you looked at the P&Ls when she was doing it, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
And you compare it to the P&Ls now. Are you pleased?
Oh no, I'm. It's been 7 years. I'm super pleased. it's like that. It's like that for real. Oh my God, it's like that. It's a blessing. It's like that. You know.
So you do fashion too.
Do I design fashion or do I just be having this shit on?
But CEO, CEO millionaire, that was a cold.
Yeah,
brand, right?
Yeah. I don't have CEO millionaires anymore. Okay. I don't do the Black Santa sweater anymore.
How come you let that go?
The Black Santa sweater, I actually licensed it to Sprite when they was doing these LeBron commercials. I don't know, it was like an animated LeBron commercial, but they used to be wearing our sweaters. I don't know if people noticed it, but that was some kickback action too every time that was coming across. And then with the CEO Millionaires, it was more than just me involved. And so if everybody on the same page,
We just need to leave it alone. Mm. So you've been able to reinvent yourself from being a restaurateur to now, you know, having a show with your child. Is that something that you consciously do? Because I think a lot of musicians fall into the play where they just are only musicians and then it kind of like just goes bad for them. Like, was that something that you knew? I'm going to get into music, but I don't want to just stay in music. I got to do different things.
No, I didn't know that. You know, I gained mentors once I got into music. You know what I'm saying? I've actually met maybe one of my mentors on sitting in first class. I'm someone that never talks on the plane. I'm trying to hide if I'm up there, you know what I'm saying? And so not even – I met a couple interesting people that I'm in business with actually from sitting next to them, you know, and having that conversation. And then when I do have a business leader or something in that space as a mentor, I'm able to apply that to music, right? And so – I'm someone to think I'm like the self-proclaimed marketing expert. You know what I'm saying? I think I just got ideas depending. Like, I can add value. I can sprinkle some seasoning or about branding. But, you know what I'm saying? I'm learning from the business world that every 3 to 5 years, they rebrand. They tweak the logo. They blah, blah, blah. You know what I'm saying? So, hence, you get 2 Chainz and Hell We Killing, Big Tony, and you get all of these things every 2 or 3 years. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know... And if you look back at somebody that we all admire, like Hov and Jay-Z and how many other names he got.
Like Diddy.
He been on this. People, you get it. They all just, you know what I'm saying, love. He's been loved. Yeah. Like, you know, don't forget. Yeah. The 5 years was up. Yeah. Trying to, you know what I'm saying, change the Apple logo, make it look this
Apple
way.
Apple did that a few times.
Yeah. Apple, everybody. McDonald's, Arches ain't all, everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. Every team, they change their jersey.
Everybody does this every 3 to 5 years. So why, I feel like I'm a business. I'm a walking business, right? Mm. I've been knew it was just bigger than me. I know that I'm responsible for so many family and households right now, putting food on a lot of tables. So I might as well like take advantage of that. And so with that, like I said, I implement stuff that I learned in maybe a business meeting in my rap career.
Limba Chicken Chow Mein, Mkhetwa aka Big Warra.
Yo, it's Big Fred, aka Ntate Thusawadi Podcast.
Kiki Tubafetu, and we are the Sobering Podcast.
Tune in to us every second Wednesday for fire conversations and interviews about South African music, sneakers, and street culture.
Check us out on the Revolt Podcast Network.
Shout out to our moms.
So I like what you said. You said you're a brand. You're not a walking billboard. So how do you approach... What's the method when brands approach you, right? Because I know you had the Versace situation, the chain reaction shoes. So how does that work for you?
Some of it, I mean, let's be real. Some of it is based on what the bag looked like, and then some of it has nothing to do with the bag. I'm right there in the middle. I'm on what makes sense to have on my resume when I'm going to get when the big call comes or the big interview comes or whatever that looks like. So for me, in the Versace space, that was a great look for me. You know what I'm saying? Me and Salehi are great friends. He has the dopest Crocs out. And us doing that Versace thing and me being able to go to Milan and be in Gianni's old condo and his club, just like, you know what I'm saying? Me. You know what I'm saying? I'm from around the corner, just like me, representing this all, you know what I'm saying? Tall, black, confident, walking, having it, that shit laying on me right, you know what I'm saying? Like you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, talk that song.
Yeah, that shit laying on me right, you know what I'm saying? You know, it's just like, man, you know, and being in them parties that you don't get invited to, you know what I'm saying? Just being in them parties and being in them spaces, you know what I'm saying? That's a great time for me in my life. And it's like, I used to have like, you know, bucket lists and stuff like that. Man, I done kicked the bucket. I'm just waiting to, you know, something else can happen. I still feel like, I know it's crazy. I've been doing this for over 10 years now, but I still feel like my little pinnacle. I ain't really like slapped. I ain't touched it yet. You know what I'm saying? I know it might sound crazy, but I just know what work I put in and I know what I have in store for the people.
So let's talk about music. we in the age of artificial intelligence.
Yeah.
And AI is going crazy right now. People are using dead people's voices to make songs, different collaborations. I heard a Jay-Z verse, I heard a Drake verse. Yeah. I'm sure somebody had a 2 Chainz verse.
Yeah.
What's your thoughts on that?
I kind of think it's, you know, cheesy, honestly. I think it's cheesy. And, you know, I can't speak for, you know, this interview, you know, I can't speak for the kids that's under Gen Z that's coming up, you know, in this stuff, you know, but, you know, I think it'll be cool, but I don't think it's something I can follow. You know, again, I think I can listen to it one time when I'm scrolling, and they like, this is a mashup of, you know, they did Frank Sinatra and Lil Jon, whatever. And I think I can hear that for that minute right then, but it's not like I want a playlist to hear all this stuff of what could have been, somebody or what would have been. Like, I think that would make me act like I'm in another, like literally another world. You know what I'm saying? I want to try to stay as reality based as I can for as long as I can.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously music was the forefront that got you to open a lot of doors for your career. Right. But this entrepreneurial journey, I don't know. I feel like there's a different energy coming from you now. When you look at the P&Ls, and obviously you've had a rap career, 10, 15 years, man, what do we see? Do we see more of the entrepreneurial journey, or do we still see the music as the forefront of what's happening with 2 Chainz?
Well, the next project I have coming out is a project with me and Wayne, who is my dearest.
Joint album?
Yes, yeah, a joint album. We on every song together.
Oh.
And it's more on the rap side, you know what I'm saying? You know, a melody here and there, you know what I'm saying? But it's a rap album.
Bars.
I'm very, yes, I'm very pleased with it. I'm very happy with it. I'm very happy with it. You know what I'm saying? That's my next project. That's my next installment. The project is mixed. The photos are shot. We're about to shoot videos. So we that close to releasing it. And so I've been saying we about to drop. And, you know, I'm not sure what the people been saying, or it doesn't even really matter, because I just know what I have for the people who want that and who kind of miss that or fiend for that or whatever it is. But it's not like in a space where I'm trying to be like a grumpy OG type of space.
Right,
it's
right,
still
right.
In a delicate space where a younger ear can vibe to it. You know what I'm
still
saying?
Lit.
It's still lit.
Don't
it's
get
still
it
lit.
It's
a vibe. It's still lit, but it's definitely some wordplay and some captions on there, because that's what we do. We some rapping ass niggas.
I think is the greatest player of all time. A good friend of yours, LeBron.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about the working relationship that you have with LeBron. I know he, I think he executive produced the album for you.
Yeah, not this one, but I did one called Rapper Go to the League that was associated or kind of indirectly when he had the Shut Up and Dribble movement.
Yeah.
And what happened was somebody told him to shut up and dribble, right? And then the concept of Rapper Go to the League is that that's all like a brother could do, right?
Sports entertainment.
Yes, but what I was actually saying is, that was like a stereotype. We can do way more than that. You know what I'm saying? And I was highlighting people like, you know, Virgil and, you know, you guys and stuff like that. It's in a different space. They can get money without having a jump shot or putting words together. And this was a time where Bron would like, he would like listen to everybody who dropped. You know what I'm saying? And he would post it like some shit that we know other people wouldn't do for whatever reason. But this is LeBron, right? Yeah.
And he know the words.
This is LeBron, right? He in the back. He listening to me, Dolph. You know what I'm saying? Whoever drops. You know what I'm saying? Big Sean, whoever it is. He's like, he knows the lyrics to it. And so I said, you know, dude love that music. He rock with that music. I want him to hear my shit first. I want him to hear my shit because I'm always over-recording. And I want him to pick the songs that we're going to put on. This concept, Rapper Go to the League, was this kind of indirectly associated to him. You know what I'm saying? He come to the crib and stay for hours, and we kick it, man. And, you know, I'm a huge basketball fan. So, you know what I'm saying? Any other time, that's what the conversation would be, because I've had those conversations with him because I'm just a super fan, you know what I'm saying, about hooping, sports, period. You know what I'm saying? So have somebody like that on speed dial where I can just like text him out the certain movie do or a loss or a win, just like boom, and get that response. Like, it's all, that's love to me. You know what I'm saying? So he came and, you know, LeBron is rich. It's like, you know, how much do I got? Like, not rich, my bad, like wealthy. I would like to say
yeah,
wealthy.
Yeah, yeah.
I think Bronny them kids to be straight based on, you dig what I'm saying? So that's what I like to call wealth, the grant, you know. So I don't know what to even pay this man, right? I don't even know what to pay this man, right? So fast forward, I go to the game. This game, I'm there with Keisha and Halo. And this is when he passed Jordan for like the scoring title. I'm sitting there, you know what I'm saying? I don't even know. I'm just having to be at the game, you know what I'm saying? Boom. And I used to have this chain that he asked me about maybe twice, you know what I'm saying? Two different times, you know what I'm saying? He's like, man, that's your heart. Where you get that from? Boom. And I see him again. Like, he might have said something again. And I happened to have that shit on. I was like, man, I want to just give this to him, you know, for everything. You know what I'm saying? You know, you know what I mean? And so right then, as soon as he, you know, beat Jordan, as soon as he came off, he damn near sweating and everything. I'm on some shit. Put this motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? Put this bitch on. Do your interview, whatever. Take this bitch. You know what I'm saying? And so it's real love like that. That's and he don't need that either, but it's just, appreciation. It was a real gift,
Your love for basketball is very documented. We seen you shoot. There's definitely hoops in your blood. But you
was frustrated with little baby, by the way. It looks like it looked like it was like, come on, bro.
You know what? You know, I'm gonna be honest, you know. Let me see. I wouldn't say, because see, I had already like worked out, like, you know, little baby, you know, like, so a lot of, so it's just different generations. Street, I'm going to tell you something. When I was coming up, this is God honest truth. This is how old I am. I sold crack, right? And me and my guy, Shy, we went in on some crack, right? And so everybody would go to this place called Club Candlewood and hoop, and me and him would take turns hooping. Somebody would have to stay at the spot, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And but nowadays, nobody ride bikes, ain't nobody on no court, ain't nobody on that. So you know what I'm saying? My expectation for that, I didn't have like a real expectation. Of course I wanted to win, but once I saw how the game was going, I didn't want to.
First jump shot go up?
Yeah, I've seen him hoop before, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, I seen him hoop before, but just when I saw that and knowing it was a real game and know like Quavo gonna be going hard and knowing that like, you know what I'm saying, Jack gonna be close to me.
Fights fixed.
He in there like his soccer. You know what I'm saying? And so, you know, I would actually, you know, do it again. I'll probably like now I can break down film and probably come back on some coach, like, okay, this is what we're gonna have to do, little baby. You know what I'm saying? We're gonna figure this out. But yeah, man, that happened and I saw like a meme or something, but you know, man, that young nigga printing, he getting plenty of money right now. Don't fade him at all.
He's a higher trainer, right?
He done bought a jump shot.
Exactly. Buy a dribble. I wanted to go into the love of the game actually turning into ownership in the game. So you got the College Park Horse, you're involved with the Atlanta Horse. Talk about that side of it, because you've turned something that you were passionate about into something that's a business opportunity.
Yeah, College Park Skyhawks. Shout out to my Skyhawks, man. You know what I'm saying? Been a part of them for a couple of years now. Actually got approached by the Atlanta Hawks owners. You know what I'm saying? Coming to the game. You know, relationships worth more than money if you don't take nothing else from this right here. I'm telling you now, you can be the richest nigga in the world if you don't know how to build relationships. You know, put that person out in the room and you know what I'm saying? And so, you know, I think they knew how passionate I was about the game. They started making up rules like, man, don't take pictures of him when you don't. You know, they trying to take pictures of me. Of course, I'm doing like this. I'm like, I'm trying to see. So, you know, after a while, he started making these rules. Like, you know, I think dude really likes this, and he's business savvy. And we had a shout out to Steve Coonan as well. I met up in his office, and you know, my son Halo actually picked the mascot for this. Like, that's how long, like, we're gonna pick. I was a part of it early before they built the Gateway Arena. I was there early. I went out there with a hard hat on and shoes, and I live vicariously through these cats. Some of them I know what's up. I done brought them in here before. You know, the pandemic come, they get called up to the league. That's me. You know what I'm saying? I'm from College Park. You know what I'm saying? I play that. So that's me. You know what I'm saying? So just being able to be that involved as far as I brought in my finance, one of my guys, Rashawn, to do some financial literacy to the guys.
Rashawn,
you know,
Williams?
Yeah, to show them how to, you know, do what's right with the stifling and everything they was getting, you know what I'm saying? And so, you know, I need to bring y'all boys in there. But I just like to add value, like I said, in any situation, ideas, marketing, you know, whatever. So it's a great relationship. It's a great thing. It's the G League. They're a product of the NBA. So I'm still connected. Mm-hmm. I'm still, you know, You never know, man.
You never know, man.
Ain't even gonna play. I'm just talking about, man. I might do some other. You know, I might
NBA team.
Something, man. I'm in the mix now. I'm in there a little bit. I got my teeth in the game. I'm in there a little bit. And this is not. People might act like it's normal. This ain't normal.
Nah.
Can't name nobody else kicking it like this. I ain't designing or doing that like all this here. Like I'm in the mix. You know what I'm saying? You know, I'm not picking out what color socks and none of that. I'm really in the mix. I'm in the mix now. Yeah, that's important.
You got so much stuff going on right now. Okay. What are you most passionate about, and what's your 5-10-year plan? Like, where do you see yourself in 10 years from now?
In 10 years, I pray some of these investments that I call them seeds that I planted. I hope in the next 10 years they grow and flourish, and I get my that 100 to 200
payout.
The payout, you know what I'm saying? A lot of stuff that I've invested in, some of it is 3 to 5, but some of it is 7 to 10 as far as its maturation. It's early on. A lot of stuff I got in early. Some stuff, you know, I'm not really bandwagon anything. A lot of stuff I got in early. You know, your Toros, your Instacarts, you know, a lot of stuff like that I got in early. So just waiting to see, you know, what this market going to look like in a couple of years. And, you know, it's like gambling a little bit. I enjoy gambling. I don't like losing, but, you know, I try to put a lot of money in different places. So in 5 to 10 years, I see ownership. You know, my most prized, you know, possessions for me is my family. Mm-hmm. I love family. I love being able to take care of people. When I say family, we don't got to be blood. You know what I'm saying? You know who you are. You know what I'm saying? So just being that kind of person, you know what I'm saying? Head strong. Like I say, you know, confidence, still trying to learn new stuff, learn new things, you know, somewhat on the yacht 10 years from now, taking on whatever Jeff Bezos on, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Kicking it with a, you know, pretty souls. Yeah, pretty souls everywhere.
Everywhere. Just for the vibes. Just for the vibes. Chains, I appreciate you, brother, man. Every time we see, it's all good.
I appreciate y'all, man. I had a great time. Enjoyed talking to y'all, man. Y'all got the game. Y'all let me talk a lot. I like to hear y'all talk, so I'm gonna have to catch y'all when y'all got somebody on the sofa ain't got nothing to talk about. Y'all giving out the game.
Yeah.
I like to hear y'all give out the game.
Anytime, man.
I love it.
It's always a pleasure, my brother. Appreciate you,
man. Thank you for coming, man.
It's a wrap on set, ladies and gentlemen.
This is a Fast Financial Fact sponsored by Xfinity.
This week's fact: relying on one source of income can lead to financial hardship.
Multiple streams of income can provide a safety net during unforeseen circumstances, such as a job loss, economic downturns, or personal emergencies. If one stream is disrupted, you still have other sources of income to rely on.
This enhances your ability to weather financial challenges and reduces vulnerability.
Assets Over Liabilities is presented by Xfinity.
About what makes your heart beat a little faster?
Oh, you mean like when you discover a new track that just speaks to you?
Yeah, or finding a movie that you can't stop thinking about?
Well, get ready to feel that excitement all over again, because Amazon Prime is here to take your entertainment and shopping experience to the next level.
Absolutely. Prime isn't just about getting your packages quicker. It's about diving into a world of endless possibilities, from the latest releases to exclusive content you won't find anywhere else.
And don't even get me started on the music. Prime offers concert specials that will transport you right to the front row. It's like being at the hottest gigs without leaving your living room.
I use Prime to tap in with some of my favorite artists' live shows from any and every genre of music.
Trust me, Prime is a game changer. It's like having a personalized superstore and entertainment hub right at your fingertips.
So why wait? Head over to amazon.com/Prime and start experiencing entertainment like never before.